The text for the sermon today is the gospel lesson, verse 46. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And this is the text, and you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus is there in the temple, sitting there with the teachers, the rabbis, the doctors of theology of the Old Testament, and he's asking them questions. And there's answers. There's a commercial that's been airing recently. Features a young girl. Number of situations, and she finds something out and she asks a question. How do they know these things? How do they know all this? How do they know all these things? And it's a theme that runs through it, a rhythm to it. How do they know all of this? And then there's Jesus in the temple. And the teachers of the law are wondering and amazed. How does he know these things? All of a sudden, a 12-year-old boy, the age when he would have been about in the middle of his religious instruction, getting ready for his bar mitzvah. And there he is listening and asking questions. There is, by the way, that experience as a teacher. There are times when you have a student who is especially bright, shows uncommon insight. Sometimes you know them by the questions they ask. You say to yourself, they've been thinking about this. How would they know to ask these questions? Sometimes they just seem to understand parts of the teachings that you think and you expect to see a different reaction and more of a puzzled look. But it's not there. They seem to look you straight in the eye and be following exactly what you're saying. So you ask a question and it's way off the ordinary lesson. And they give you an answer that's it's surprisingly close. Close, mind you. And you're thrilled. So it is with the student who has an understanding of things in this world and of things within the human mind. They've got thoughts and ideas and they're pondering life. And you think to yourself, you know, this next little while as a teacher, this is going to be special. That's going to be especially fun. And I've been leading you down this path so I can say at this point, this is not how it was in those days of the temple. Pulled the rug right out from under the illustration. This is not how it was. The rabbis and teachers had sitting there, right in the middle of them, a child who is also God. And they're asking questions and they're talking about words of the Bible from one viewpoint, and Jesus among them is coming at it from a completely different viewpoint. You see, we see the words of the Bible from below. We see those words as words given to people who walk on the earth as human beings, having the Word of God come to us, and it brings promises and it corrects when we have done wrong, and it teaches us about eternal things and the things of heaven. But then there's Jesus. And he, on the other hand, is the one who spoke the Word of God. He is the one who sent it into our world to call our souls. And when it gives promises, well, he's the living God who has spoken them and is going to fulfill them. So he understands all of the behinds and in-between parts. How does he know all these things? That's what the rabbis are asking. We know the answer. Because he's God. So, further into the setting, they're in Jerusalem. It's the time of the Feast of the Passover. And the rabbis and teachers are there in the temple grounds, and they're talking and asking questions and digging into the Word of God. Which parts of the Word of God? What questions? Actually, pretty strong clue that it is at the Passover time. So they would be talking about the promises of God being set free from Egypt, how God keeps his promises. They would be talking about the walk of faith. Here was Jesus. He's the Passover lamb. And his blood marks our door. His blood marks us. And Jesus knows it. He knows the why and the reason for it all. How does he know this? He knows the much greater story because he is the much greater story. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he was there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, knowing that one day he would be riding into Jerusalem, and that time it would be to be the Passover, to do the sacrifice, to set his people free. In fact, do you remember how it's Luke that records this, on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah appeared and they were talking with Jesus? Luke says they were talking with him, literal quote, about his exodus that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So the Passover. And as they're discussing the blood that marks the door, here is Jesus with the blood flowing in his veins that would mark us and forgive our sins and set us free. They talk about the crossing of the Red Sea. And here is Jesus, who was present at that crossing in the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, who goes with them through the wilderness, brings them to the mountain of God. They could be talking about all of the journey through the wilderness. That includes Mount Sinai. And they might mention Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, the 70 elders of Israel who went up on the mountain of God and saw God face to face, and under his feet there was a pavement, something like sapphire stone, and they were in the presence of God, and they ate and they drank, and they could talk about what was it like to be there in the presence of God. And yet here's Jesus, figure up on the mountain and under his feet. That was Jesus. And he could talk with them about, for example, the expression on the faces of Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu in the 70. How they responded to being in the presence of God and how he was gracious to them. He knows all of this. And the teachers of the law, they're amazed. They're amazed at his knowledge. They're amazed at his questions. They're amazed at his answers. And then finally, imagine then what it would have been like to be one of the rabbis, one of the teachers, and see Mary and Joseph come in to find and collect Jesus and take him home. Son, why have you done this? Your father and I have been searching for you. And the response, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And he leaves with them. Leaves a whole bunch of teachers with, they thought, pretty deep knowledge in the Old Testament. Leaves them with questions. Who is this child? Oh, he'll be back. He will begin his ministry, preaching and teaching and healing, and he will force them again to ask the same questions. Who is this man? In the words of the disciples, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this man? In the words of the people of Nazareth, where did he get such knowledge? Who is this man who feeds the 5,000 and declares that he is the bread of life that has come down from heaven? Who is this man? The crowds gather around and they are amazed at him because he taught them as one who had authority. Time and time again, they see in his words this knowledge that they don't know. Where is this coming from? How does he know all these things? The question for us is pretty simple. But in the revealing of the knowledge and the revealing of the teaching, what he was doing that day was calling those teachers to believe in him, to know him not only as an amazing child, a wunderkind, a child prodigy, or later as the amazing teacher, but to know him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was Passover time. He would return at another Passover, and he would shed his blood, and he would die, And again, it would be on the third day that they would find him. This time, not in the temple. They would find him, and he would be the temple, the place of the presence of God among us, where we can always go and always turn to him and always find God in his mercy, in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.